Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 20, beginning with the first verse. Early on that first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Dear friends and our resurrected Savior, you are one of the many Marys in your group. So they refer to you as Mary Magdalene, Mary the one from the city of Magdala. You first met Jesus when he cast 7 demons out of you. And ever since then, you believed in him. You clung to his every word. He taught not like the others, but with authority. You believed him to be the promised Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah. He is the one who has come to save you from oppression. You confessed that he is the Son of God. In fact, you believe that he is God himself who came down from heaven to save you. But then he died. You were there when he died. You're there watching on Golgotha. You saw his pain and his agony. You heard him cry out to the Lord when he was rejected by his Father. You saw him breathe his last and give up his spirit. You saw his body grow limp and cold. You were there when Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took down his body, prepared it with spices and wrapped it in linen. You followed them to the tomb and saw exactly where Jesus was laid. next day was a Sabbath. It was a rough Sabbath, to say the least. One filled with confusion and doubt. How could this happen? You thought to yourself. I thought he was the Messiah. I thought he was my Savior, but now he lies in a tomb dead. You weren't sure who he was. Did he trick you? Was he some crazy guy who led thousands of people to believe nothing more than a lie? You weren't sure who to follow. You weren't sure who to believe. You weren't sure what to do with your life. You had put your life aside and decided to follow him as your Savior. But now he's dead. All those things were going through your mind, even on Sunday. Early Sunday morning when you got together with a group of other women to go visit Jesus' tomb to finish giving him a proper burial. As you're walking, you guys realized, what are we going to do with the stone in front of the tomb? And as you walked up to the tomb, the stone was gone. Removed. You left, you ran away to tell the disciples while the other women went in to the tomb. You ran and found Peter and John and you said to them, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we do not know where they have put him. Together, you raced to the tomb. The other, Peter and John, they looked, they saw, they left. You stayed. An angel appeared to you. You're still confused. And then someone else comes up to you. You thought it was the gardener. Where have you put his body? You asked. Tell me so I can give him a proper burial. Then that man said, Mary. The voice you recognized. It was Jesus. He's alive? How can it be possible? He was dead. I saw him dead. So we want a logical explanation. He's God. You're no longer uncertain. But sure, Jesus truly is God. He is your Savior. He is the Lord. He is a long-promised Messiah. Your uncertainty, your doubt has been removed because you have seen your resurrected Savior and you know what you will do for the rest of your life. Follow the Lord and cling to His Word. Sometimes the Lord called you Simon. Most people know you as Peter. You are one of Jesus' disciples. You often spoke for the whole group of disciples, often doing it without thinking. For better or for worse, you are bold and brash. On Maundy Thursday, just a few days before, you made a vow to the Lord. Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Even I have to die with you, I will never disown you. Jesus warned me that I would disown him, but I didn't believe him. In fact, when Jesus was arrested, I defended him and cut off someone's ear. Then you followed Jesus when he was taken in front of the Sanhedrin, and your buddy and fellow disciple John got you into the courtyard of the high priest. There you were standing by a fire trying to stay warm. You started talking to people. And they recognized you. Aren't you one of his disciples? They said. No, you denied it. You didn't even know him. Then a servant girl asked you. Well, someone said, no, your accent gives you away. 3 times you denied even knowing Jesus. Even calling down curses upon your accusers. but then the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked at you, and you remembered his words. You realized your sin. You denied the Lord 3 times. You were ashamed of him. You didn't even want to be associated with Jesus. You were looking out for your own interests instead of following him. So you hung your head in shame and you ran away crying because of the horrible sin that you have committed. And that stare, that look of disappointment, well, that was your last impression of Jesus. Because then he died. He had been so good to you. He had taught you all of God's word. He picked you up when you had fallen. He never did you or anyone wrong. And how did you treat him? Like the criminal many people thought he was. You wanted nothing to do with him. And so your sins weighed heavily upon you. Not just the sin of denying Jesus, but all the sins you have committed. How could God ever forgive you for all the wicked and horrible things that you have done? An early Sunday morning, this woman you knew, Mary Magdalene, came running to you and telling you that they had taken Jesus' body from the tomb. You and John ran to investigate. He got there first. And when you got there, you pushed your way in and saw the burial clothes and the cloth around the head lying there. You didn't understand. You're confused. Jesus knew how you felt, though. He told the women to tell Peter exactly that he had risen from the dead. In fact, later on in Easter, Jesus appeared to you. And then he appeared to all the disciples that Easter night. Jesus was alive. He had died, but now he's risen. Your lasting impression of Jesus is not that look of disappointment, but your lasting impression of Jesus is him in his full glory. An impression of joy, excitement, of forgiveness and eternal life. Throughout the rest of Jesus' 40 days on earth before he ascended into heaven, he taught you and the other disciples the scriptures, teaching you again and again what they had to say about him. He even pulled you aside once and assured you of your forgiveness and his love for you. He showed you how he had to suffer and die on the cross, and where in the Bible it said that he must rise from the dead. He taught you what his death and his resurrection meant, that he has paid for your sins, that he took your sins upon himself, suffering through their eternal punishment, so that he can give you his perfect life. So that when God looks at you, he doesn't see the sins you have committed. He doesn't see the person who denied even knowing Jesus. No, he sees his own dear son, pure and innocent children. You confessed your faith in the Lord. You knew forgiveness well, so that just a few months later, standing before the Sanhedrin, the same body that condemned Jesus to death, you confessed your faith. And you said, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. You refer to yourself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. We know you as John. You are one of Jesus' closest disciples. You saw things that the others didn't. You were so close to Jesus, in fact, that when he was hanging on the cross, he entrusted his very mother to your care and protection. He was your closest friend. But then he died. You loved him so much, you were so close to him, but then he was no more. You ran to that tomb with Peter and Mary. You got there first. You were younger and faster, but you didn't go in at first. But then you went in and you saw the clothes and the linen lying there, folded where Jesus' head was. And you knew, and you believed. You left knowing the joy of the resurrection, that he truly did rise from the dead, that Jesus has power over death. Three times you saw Jesus raise someone from the dead in his ministry. He proved his power again and again. Jesus can control death with just his words. Death had to listen to Jesus. And then he proved it once and for all again on that Easter morning by rising from the dead and appearing to you and all the other disciples. Jesus lives. But eventually you will die. Over time, your loved ones will die too. But you don't have to be afraid of death. Death doesn't have to cause sorrow, because Jesus defeated death through his resurrection. He removed its sting through his suffering and death on the cross. And Jesus ascended into heaven. And you know that soon you will see him again. He will take you to live with him in heaven forever. You're no longer afraid of death, because your Savior has been raised from the dead. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he indicated to you and to the others that you wouldn't die like the rest of the disciples. No, the other disciples were all persecuted because of their faith and put to death on account of their faith, but not you. You would live a long life, and in fact, you ended up being banished and exiled to the island of Patmos. Throughout your long life, the Holy Spirit inspired you to write 5 letters or books of the New Testament. 2 books and 3 letters containing some of the most comforting and encouraging words of all of Scripture. He inspired you to write down these words of Jesus. I tell you the truth. He who believes has eternal life. Or because I live, you also will live. Or I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Jesus gave you his revelation. And in Revelation, he gave you wonderful glimpse into the eternal life that awaits for us. A view, a peek in the heaven. You saw life after death. And these are some of the words you wrote. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." So who are you? Are you Mary? Or Peter? Or John? Well, of course, you're all of them. You have doubts. Sins weigh you down. Death frightens you. But Christ is risen. Risen to free you. He truly is your God and your Savior. Your sins have been paid for. And a perfect life with your resurrected Savior awaits you. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.